All right. As I said before, today is Mission Sunday, so I'm going to be talking about all the missions that our church is involved with, and we do this every year, and it's important that we do this every year, so you all know what kind of missions we are involved with in the church, and it's also an opportunity for us to support a very, very important outside mission that places God's Word all around the world. It's our opportunity to support them. One of my good friends, a friend, a brother in Christ, somebody I work with on the outside of here also in business, but also just a good friend, is a Gideon, and he's here this morning. His name is Mike Frazier, so I want to introduce you to Mike. He's going to speak for 10 or 12 minutes and share with us what the Gideons are doing, and then we're going to talk about missions this morning. So come on up here, buddy. Thank you for coming.
I lost my home, lost my job, and ended up on the streets.
I found it a suitable place for me to hang myself.
We found our son had taken his own life on our property.
Just as the distribution was ending, someone placed a testament in my outstretched hand.
That one testament had a great impact on our lives and our family.
This is an opportunity for me to have a New Testament.
As I began to read the book of Revelations, I could see how much God loved me.
It was like for the first time in my life that I really felt acceptance.
I'm fixing up this drug, and I see the Gideon's Bible over there. But there was a force compelling me to pick this up. You know, he says he'd take away all the weights and burdens that you have. They were gone.
It has given me hope for daily living in the worst circumstances of my life.
Then I knew that there was someone who loved me.
All I said was, "Yes, Lord." And it was like I was born again right there.
Within the covers of the Bible are all the answers for all the problems that man face. Ronald Reagan. Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and the Greek also." I do not think this book can change lives. I don't think it can change anyone mentally. That's what the headmaster said in a school in Barraza. She said, "This book is no different than Don Quixote's The Iliad or The Iliad." The Gideons went there to meet with this headmaster to do a school distribution. They wanted permission to go to the fifth grader, just like we do here in Marshfield. However, she shared her belief that the scripture was not practical or useful to her students, but the Gideons explained that let the students decide if they wanted the scripture or not. So she decided to let them come. They only wanted to offer the scripture to the students. The date was set and they returned. On the day of the distributions, the Gideons arrived at the school. The headmaster was waiting at the entrance. She instructed the men to be as brief as possible, to only work inside each schoolroom and only distribute testaments to the students who would want them. Gideons entered the classroom, the headmaster joined, and the Gideons were introduced. Coming into the third classroom, things started to change. The headmaster introduced the Gideons. "Children, please sit down. These gentlemen have something interesting to tell you." By the fifth classroom, the Holy Spirit had been at work. The headmaster introduced the Gideons in a different light. "Children, please listen carefully. Let me introduce you to these gentlemen. They are Gideons. These gentlemen, he will give you a small but important very book. On the first page, you'll find a place to put your name and today's date. Do not lose this. On the third page, you'll find an important section. It's a help section. There you'll find scripture to help you during difficult moments of your life. The book tells you about Jesus, his story, and his work." The Gideons looked at each other. They knew that the joy of the Holy Spirit was working in the headmaster Barraza. She had been listening to their presentations each and every time. When the distribution was complete, the gentlemen met with Barraza in her office. They prayed together. They were able to share spiritual wisdom with her. She was thankful and invited them in to come back any time they wanted. The team of Gideons could have left when they first went in, but they didn't because they knew that God was in control, not the headmaster Barraza. What seemed uncertain became glory for God. For many of you, you hear the name Gideons, and you think of the hotel and motel Bibles you see around the country, and that's an important part of our ministry, but it only comprises about 8% of our ministry. The Gideons International is so much more. We do place Bibles in hotels, motels, cruise ships, but we also place them in many places like the Fordland Prison, doctor's offices, hospitals, police offices. We provide scriptures for our military personnel. This was one of two my son got before he deployed to Iraq. He sent this one back to me and asked me to keep it, and I have. He went and he came back fine. But no one else is going out and doing this for our students, for our soldiers, here and around the world, our police officers, our fire department. We also go to high schools and colleges. I'll let you know that we're able to go in Marshfield, we're able to go in Elkland, but I'm not able to go in Fordland, Rogersville, or Seymour. But I can go to the Fordland Honorary Prison over there and give out New Testaments. If we could get to all the schools, I probably would need to be in Fordland prison camp. The Gideons are indeed a part of our church. In fact, all the Gideons and our wives are part of local churches. The Gideons International has more than 200 countries, territories, and possessions. We are unique. We live and we work where we live, where we work. The only country that's an exception for is China. We're able to work there, but we're not able to live there. We aren't visitors. We're part of that community. Gideons live and work and share the gospel of God's word with our fellow citizens, families, and friends. Last year alone, we shared more than 90 million copies of God's word around the world in over 100 languages. We see results in places like India and China, where the distribution is more than 1 million Bibles a month. We could do more if more funds are available. I will share with you, we have no, all Bibles are out right now at this time. We're not waiting for funds to come in. We're able to keep up with the demand because of people like you. Our single purpose is to see lost people come to know their faith in Jesus Christ. We seek to serve the Lord by accomplishing this goal through personal witnessing and distribution of God's word, copies that you help provide. Here's another scripture I wanted to share with you this morning, Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intent of the heart. I want to share with you some testimonies this morning. This first one is from a gentleman named Pat Shelton. I'll let you know it's a little raw, but it's very true to what's going on, and you people working in the Freeway Ministry, you'll understand it completely. So go ahead.
What can I do that would make my daddy happy and spend time with me? I was 6 years old, and I said, I know what I'll do. I'll get him a beer. Well, I got a beer, and my fingers wouldn't open it up, so I took a spoon, and I popped it open, and I ran up to my daddy and said, look what I done, Daddy. This is for you. He said, all right, son, you open it. You drink it. That was the first time I was ever drunk. I had so much anger and rage. My dad was an alcoholic. My sister sold drugs. By the time I was 12 years old, I was selling drugs in school. By the time I was 17, I was collecting money for other drug dealers. At one time, I had 35 pounds of meth on my back, $250,000. I had 72 cops, 6 dogs, and 2 choppers after me. I was running from the law. Ended up going to jail. When a Gideon named Charlie Waters came into my cell, looked me straight in the eye and told me, Jesus loves you and I love you. I looked at him, I said, well, undoubtedly he don't know me. So one day he was telling us about this man, Jesus, and I felt this tear start coming up in my eye. And I started fighting that so hard because I was Pat Shelton. I was a man that collected money. I was a drug dealer. I collected money from other drug dealers. I was burning houses, blowing up cars. I was destroying families. Nothing made me cry. And I didn't know what to do. And Charlie came in and told me, would you do this for me? Would you read this book for me? I read the book of John, and I got over there and I got to reading about all these people. I read about Peter, and I wrote about all these people in here. And I said, they were guys, nice guys, but this Jesus has got it going on. And then I realized, this man truly died for me. And I got down on my knees and I said, Lord, I don't know you, don't know nothing about you. But if you can take this pain and this suffering, this rage and this anger from me and this addiction, I won't give you my life, I'll surrender. And right at that moment, he spoke to me and he gave me forgiveness. He said, I forgive you. Well, I came up excited. Finally got out of jail. When I got out of jail, I said, God, I'll never come back to this jail. You get me out here, I'll never come back. 1 year to the day, he called me to minister. I went back to the jail. I've been doing the jail ministry for 9 years. We've had over 800 men come out of that jail. Since then, I serve a God that's a God of restoration. He has restored my family. I led my mom and daddy both to the Lord, and he's given me a chance to go out and tell people how wonderful he is. And all this happened. All this happened because of one man. One man never gave up, and that's why I'm doing what I do today, is because he loved me enough to tell me.
This next testimony was sent in this year. It's called More Than Words. In June of 2016, there's a salesman named Bill. He checked into a hotel in Cincinnati, Ohio. Life circumstances had left him in pretty bad shape. Bill's wife of 24 years had confessed to having multiple affairs over most of their marriage and was going to leave him. Three of their 4 children were involved in drugs, solicitation, and gang activity. 2 weeks prior to this trip, Bill was notified by his company they were consolidated and he would be unemployed in just 4 weeks. Bill got the hotel room. He unpacked his suitcase. Among his belongings was a pistol. He brought with the intention of taking his life that day. He laid the pistol on the bed, turned the volume of the TV up as high as it would go. He opened the nightstand to grab a piece of paper to write an apology note, and there was a Gideon Bible. Something told him to pick up this Bible. Feelings of failure and loss took over so many thoughts. He turned the TV down. He says, I opened the drawer of the nightstand. I took out the Gideon's Bible and looked at it for a minute. I had not been to church since I had been to vacation Bible school as a young child. I hadn't even gotten married in a church, but something in the book called to me. I turned the TV way down, started reading Matthew and Mark, and then John. Tears rolled down my face. I started to realize there was someone who truly loved me. His name was God. I gave my life to Christ that evening. A month later, Bill was hired by a new company as a regional manager. He and his wife never reconciled, but he and his children are attending church regularly. He reads God's word every day. He returned to that hotel and he shared with the manager. He goes, "I don't know why these Gideons placed these hotel Bibles here, but I'm truly grateful for it." When those Bibles were placed, it was in April of 1013 in 2016. God has blessed the efforts of the Gideons as they make certain each room in that Quality Inn Suites had a brand new Gideon Bible. They were prepared for every guest that comes in because only God knows what he wants done. Bill came with a plan to end his life, but he left with a plan for a new future ahead of him. Praise God. The Gideons are indeed part of our church. In fact, you may be wondering how you can help the Gideons International. Folks, your number one need, the number one thing we ask for is prayer, a constant prayer that we will have doors open, that we can continue to grow this ministry, to go into churches and to countries and throughout the world spreading God's word. We do it through multiple ways. We can't get into the local schools over on the south side of the county, but we offer the life book. We distribute about 500,000 copies of this free. All your youth pastors, Jeff's aware of this, just have to request them. And then your teens can go peer to peer, and they spread God's word where we can't. At the close of this service, you'll have an opportunity to help support the Gideons by purchasing scriptures. When you give the Gideons International, you impact lives for Christ. For $1.25, you can provide and place new scriptures, just like these little ones, New Testaments, throughout the world. Gideon Hotel and Motel Bibles cost about $5 each, and that's what the Gideon cards, that's what they purchase. A hotel Bible has a life expectancy of about 5 years and will reach about 2,300 people. For your convenience, you can make your checks payable to the Gideons International. The other ways you can support the Gideons, you can become a friend of the Gideons, which I'll have flyers on that if you want to, by prayer or by financial support. And like I said, the Gideon cards, those cards go out through the whole year and continue to place Bibles. This final scripture I want to share with you is what the Gideons live by. Isaiah 55:11. "So shall my word go forth out of my mouth, it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. It shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." Pastor Jeff, got it right this time. First time I called him Wayne. Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for allowing my wife and I to come into your church. Congregation, thank you. Thank you for the impact of your prayers, for your attention and your understanding today to be a part of your service. Most of all, I want to bless this church and ask God to continue to do his work here. It's a sincere privilege to always come here. Thank you very much.
Thanks, brother. Thank you. So, stand with me this morning. We're gonna read 1 Corinthians chapter 16. I've got a very, very brief message today on missions. So I'm going to be brief, but turn to 1 Corinthians 16:1. I'm going to read 1 through 4 and 8 and 9. We're going to be in the whole chapter. And we're going to talk about missions, and we're going to talk about the Gideon some more. And that's what we're talking about today. So 1 Corinthians 16:1-4. It says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so you also are to do. On the first day of every week, Each of you is to put something aside and store it up as he may prosper, so that there will be no collecting when I come. And when I arrive, I will send those whom you accredited by letter to carry your gift to Jerusalem. If it seems advisable that I should go also, they will accompany me. And then go down to verses 8 and 9. It says, "But I will stay in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a wide door for effective work has been opened to me, and there are many adversaries. Let's pray. Father, I thank you this morning for Mike and Suzanne and them coming this morning and sharing with what the Gideons are doing. And Lord, I'm very thankful for all the missions that we're doing here. And as we just break down a couple of points here, that we have to be engaged in missions. Lord, we want you to be honored. And Lord, let us challenge ourselves today about missions and whether we're involved in them or not. Lord, we thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So guys, when we think about missions, we usually like to think about somebody in Africa or overseas or somebody that's, you know, not necessarily around here or third world countries. And that is a part of missions, but that is obviously not the only part of missions. So today what I want to start by doing is talking about the missions that we do as a local body here. And I have about 10 of them. It's amazing. I love that. I'm so thankful that we are mission-minded here. The first one that I wrote down is Freeway. That is a mission of the local church. It's an outreach that shares the gospel with those that are lost in Marshfield and surrounding communities. Every Saturday evening, we have a meal, we have a worship service, we have a free clothing store that people can get clothes, and then we preach the gospel to them, because that is the power that saves, is the gospel and the word of God. So that is a big one of this local body of believers, is reaching people in our community that are lost. The second one that I put down is Choices Pregnancy Center. That is a local center here in Marshfield that is fighting abortion right here in our community. This clinic offers free ultrasounds to expecting moms, classes to teach them how to be a mom, and once again, the gospel is shared. That's the theme of all of this, is every single thing that we do in a mission in the church, the gospel has to be shared. We contribute 1% to the Southern Baptist Convention. They have a program called the Cooperative Program, where they have missionaries that go all over the world, so our finances are contributing to that. We are also sponsoring a young lady at Missouri State through CRU. Her name is Maddie Cook. Right now, she is working at Missouri State University full-time, teaching discipleship classes and reaching the lost. I had the opportunity to sit down with her and really find out if she knew how to share the gospel, and she did, and I gave her some pointers, some tips on how to share the gospel with people, kind of like what we're doing on Wednesday night. So I had to do that. Then we had Mike this morning with the Gideons. This ministry, the Gideons, is very, very impactful. Our own youth pastor and worship leader, he was converted to Christianity by a Gideon Bible, God's Word, inside of a hotel room reading the book of Ecclesiastes, correct? So we see an impact here, even in the local body, by a Gideon Bible. As Mike said, we're going to have an opportunity this morning to give, to place God's Word all over the world and in our local schools. We have the backpack program. Right now, we raise money and food for the school backpack program. This is a program that sends food home on a weekly, every single Friday. These kids will take home a backpack that's full of food. If we didn't sponsor this, these kids would be hungry over the weekend. A lot of kids only eat at school. So we sponsor that and give money and food so kids can have a meal over the weekend. Kids would be hungry if we didn't do that. We also will send home Thanksgiving meals. We provide a Thanksgiving meal for hundreds of families across Marshfield every single year. We're going to be doing that again this year. Operation Christmas Child. October, this coming month, we're going to be gathering supplies and toys and putting them in shoeboxes. Franklin Graham has an organization called Samaritan's Purse, where we will send shoeboxes with gospel tracts and little toys all over the world to kids all over the world that will get exposed to Christianity because of your giving in that. And then we have, as a mission, Evangelism, sharing the gospel one-on-one like we did at the Bow Shoot. The youth going to MSU and sharing the gospel and reaching people. The cup of cold water booth where we hand out a cup of cold water at the Webster County Fair. We do that where we have an opportunity to share the gospel and reach people in our community. And then lastly, something you guys probably don't know of on a regular basis, but we do benevolence where we try to help people in our area that are struggling with hunger, medical issues, financial problems. So there's all sorts of ways that we do missions. So here's the thing, we have to be missions minded. And I want to say this morning, I want to encourage you, I'm very proud of this body and how engaged we are with missions in our community, and that you are there and we're not inwardly focused, we're outwardly focused, and I'm very, very proud of that. I'm proud of you. But I also want us today to look and see that it's easy for us to lump ourselves together as a group and say, yeah, man, he just listed off 10 things really quick that we're all involved with as a church. But I want us to individually this morning, for just about 10 or 15 minutes, I want to talk about, are we individually engaged with the mission? So what is the mission? Every single thing that we brought up and talked about, and it was even in the Gideon's presentation, what is our mission with doing missions? What is the mission statement? Sharing Christ. It's literally sharing the gospel. Every single thing that we do as a church has to be centered around sharing the gospel. Like, that's the mission. That has to be our mission than what we do. So since it's Mission Sunday, I want us to look at ourselves and say, okay, am I contributing myself to being a part of fulfilling that mission here in this local body of this church? It really reminded me, and sometimes I get these ideas and these things come to my head early in the morning. And I got up this morning pretty early, and I thought about this. I was thinking about reading over my notes and thinking about the sermon, and it reminded me of something. About 13 years ago, it's probably been 12 or 13 years, me and Mitch Espy and Tom Espy and Brent Espy and a couple other guys, Bill Menzies and Josh Menzies, around deer season time in another month. Boy, I love going deer hunting. And about 12 years ago, me and five other guys rented an RV. And it wasn't a very big RV either. And we drove up to North Missouri. I don't even remember where we went, but it was a conservation area. And when Josh had this harebrained idea to do this, not Josh Laudig, another Josh that I know, but he said, let's do this. This is going to be awesome. So we got a bunch of us together, and we rented this RV, and we had all of our guns, and we're like, man, we're going to go up and have a great weekend. It was literally like 10 degrees that weekend. And we went up to North Missouri, and we get up there, and you think North Missouri around the Iowa border, it's like flat, and it's like the Rocky Mountains where we were at in this conservation area. So we get up there, and it's cold, and the mission, we were on a mission to do what? Kill deer. We're going to try to kill a deer. Well, me and Josh's dad, Bill, it's cold. I mean, it's like real quick we decided this ain't no fun. This ain't fun being up here. So me and Bill made a fire, like middle of the day. In the morning we get up, and our version of going after deer was like going about 25 yards away from the fire and sitting for about 30 minutes and going, I want to go back and eat some breakfast and drink some coffee and sit around the fire. So me and Bill spent all day sitting around the fire. And you got Mitch Espy back there. Mitch in the back is like superhuman strength. Mitch Espy and Josh and all these other guys, they go miles in after these deer. And I'm thinking, those guys are idiots, because if they shoot a deer, there's no way they're getting it back here. So me and Bill are sitting around the fire going, man, this is nice. And Mitch was on a mission. Like, he was on a mission to get a deer. And I know they saw a deer. The only deer that I saw was some of the other ones that people had shot. I didn't see a deer all weekend. It's only went like 25 yards away from the campfire. And then I wanted to go back. That kind of relays to what I'm talking about this morning. Now, we can be engaged with the mission, and we can put our whole heart into it, and we can go, man, here is the goal. I want to get engaged with this, and it doesn't matter how comfortable I am. It doesn't matter whether I want to do it or not. It doesn't matter if it's fun. I have a goal, and that goal is to reach people for the kingdom, and nothing is going to come in my way of that goal. Or you could be like me and Bill and go, yeah, I'm going to be a part of this, but I'm going to sit around the campfire and not do anything. That relays to this morning. Are you engaged with this goal of going out and getting after it? Or does fear of sharing the gospel and just pure laziness sometimes want to keep you around the campfire and you don't get anything accomplished? So that's what we need to ask ourselves this morning. If we have a mission, what is the mission? That's to reach people for Christ. Well, how do we do that? There's a couple of things I want to go over. One, as Mike talked about, is finances. Now, I know, like, you're great. He's going to talk about money, right? No fun. But whether we like it or not, reaching people for the kingdom requires some finances most of the time. It requires us to make an investment. And here in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, we're told this church is to take up an offering the first day of the week, base it upon their income. And I know this is a touchy subject. Nobody likes to really talk about this. It's not a whole lot of fun. But we, listen, in order to do mission work and support all of the organizations that we do, we have to be willing to financially back them. We have to be able to put, what I like to say, get some skin in the game. If I'm really charging after it, guess what I'm doing? I got some skin in the game. I got to have some skin in the game. 1 Timothy 6:10 says, "For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs." So we can't hold on to it. We have to realize that what God has blessed us with, we want to further the kingdom by going above and beyond. We can't hold it with a tight fist. 2 Corinthians, in the same context, 2 Corinthians 9:7, Paul says, "Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." So when it's time to support missions and it's time to financially back them, what is Paul saying? Don't do it like, "Well, great, I have to do this. It's like it's my obligation." No, he says, be happy about it. Be excited that you get to buy a Gideon Bible that somebody can be saved about, because of. Be excited about the opportunity to do it. It's really an attitude issue. And here's the thing, it's worship. It's worshiping. I always, when we take up a morning offering, it's about worship. We must remember that everything we have is God's. And we have to be good stewards of that. And He's given us things to manage. Here's the thing. If God has blessed you, guess what? You're going to be held more accountable for that. For much is given, much is required. If you haven't been given anything, I mean, if you don't have a pot to pee in this morning, you're not required of much. That's a good thing, maybe. But if you are, and God has blessed you, it's required. Much is required. So we have to have a gut check here. It's not about how much you make. It's not about how much you give. I'm going to cover some verses. It's about where's your heart at when you're doing it. Proverbs 3:9 says, "Honor the Lord with your wealth and with its first fruits of all your produce." We have to be cautious with how we give. Turn to Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Matthew 6, 1 through 4. It says, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you." What's it saying? Be careful how we give. So when I want to help somebody, when I want to give, I don't need to post it all over Facebook. That's the equivalent of what Jesus is saying. I don't need to shout it. Hey, make sure everybody sees what I'm doing here. It needs to be, "Lord, I love you. Thank you for what you've given to me. And I'm going to give back to you because I love you. And nobody's going to know about it." Literally, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing when you're giving. Nobody should know. And let me say this morning, I want to make sure everybody understands this because we're talking about money. Our elders don't know. I don't know who financially gives to missions and who doesn't. So when I'm saying this, when I'm preaching this morning, I don't know. I don't know. And I don't want to know. I don't want to know because I'm human. And if I knew that somebody wasn't giving in here, I'd probably be upset with them. Because I'm human, I'd probably go to them and say, "You're not doing what you should be doing." I want the Holy Spirit to convict this morning, not Jeff. All right, so I don't know. So if it's convicting of you, do something about it. Second thing here, in order to be missions-minded, we have to be faithful. There has to be faithfulness. Doing mission work requires people to be faithful to God in using their gifts that He's given them. We see there's men and women in the church body who are faithful here. If you go back and you read 1 Corinthians 16, 8 through 9, notice Paul was staying in Ephesus because God was opening a door of ministry. It's not because he said he wanted to stay. He said, what did he do? He stayed because God said so. Right now, God has you here for a reason. He has you here at Crossridge Baptist Church in Marshfield, Missouri for a reason. God commands us to be faithful to Him in spreading the good news and using our gifts to reach the lost. He has you here for a reason. Use your gifts and talents. I talked about this last night at Freeway. Some of you are so talented of doing things. Listen, I'm not going to be up there singing because we'd have people walk out. I'm glad we have good singers. I am. There's things that you can do that I can't do. And there's things that I can do that you probably can't do. There's probably a lot of you that have a huge fear of public speaking. And you would be up here and would pass out. I don't. So there's just gifts that all of us have. And we can use them to glorify the kingdom and reach the lost. We have to be faithful with what He's given us right where we are. Matthew 28, 19 and 20 says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." That is our charge. That is missions. That is our charge. Go and make disciples of all nations. Baptize them, which we get to do today. We get to baptize people and teach them, disciple them, go through our discipleship book with them. That's our goal of missions. If we have a mission of this church that is anything other than that goal right there, you know what we need to do with that mission? Throw it in the trash can. We need to evaluate our missions. Are they effective? Are we reaching people? It's not our missions can never become the church. I said this last night at Freeway. Freeway's not the church. We can't use it as the church. Men's Encounter's not the church. We can't use it as that. Parachurch ministries are not the church. You can't be faithful to that and then not serve your local body. You're supposed to serve there if you want and use those gifts and talents to plug into your local body. You see, we have to make sure we have it done right. They're supposed to be used. Our missions can never replace the local body of believers. That should be our goal in using those. Lastly here, we have to be fruitful here. Every person bears fruit. Unfortunately, many people who say they follow Jesus are not bearing any good fruit. They're not really doing anything. They're actually detrimental to the kingdom. The main component of missions is bearing fruit in our life. People are drawn to Christ or pushed away from Christ a lot of times depending on what? The way we live our lives. They look at us and we're supposed to be an example, a reflection of Christ. So how does the outside world know if we're believers in Christ? By the fruit that we bear. Matthew chapter 7 says that. I'm not going to read the verses, but Matthew chapter 7, 15 through 23, highlight them, mark them down, read them later today. That's what it says. You'll know a tree by the fruit it bears. So I have to ask myself, are people being drawn to the kingdom based upon the way I'm living my life throughout the week? Am I a reflection? Now, I'm not saying I'm not perfect. Oh, I'm not perfect. But people should see by the way I live my life that I'm a follower of Christ. Now, here's a disclaimer. That's not evangelism. That's not evangelism. Saying, I evangelize by the way I act. No. We share the gospel, and what comes out of our mouth should be reflected in how we live our life. Okay, that's being bearing fruit. What are some of those fruits we're supposed to bear? What kind of fruit? Galatians 5, 22 through 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. We're setting right now. Here's the deal. And I'm closing. We're setting right now in the middle of a mission field. And guess who the missionaries are? We don't have to hire somebody. Guess who the missionaries are? Raise your hand if you're a brother and sister in Christ this morning. You are the missionaries. You are the missionaries right now in your workplaces, in your homes. Are your kids being drawn to the kingdom by the way you're living your life and the example you set at home? If how I live my life is a direct opposite of what God's word says, do you think my child is going to want to be a follower or even become a follower of Christ? Absolutely not. So I have to live it out in my home, in my workplace. 1 Corinthians 16, 13 through 14, the last verse says, "Be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. Let all you do be done in love." People are watching, our community watching. I haven't announced this yet, but the evening, here's the deal. This is a reflection upon all you. The evening of October 13th, I think it's the 13th is our Oakland date, right? It's the 13th, yeah. That evening, after we go to Oakland and do the freeway service, I got an email from the city of Marshfield wanting that I was nominated for a community service award. For community service for the city of... Hold on. Not me. I want you to give yourselves a hand. They say my name because I may be the preacher. It's you all. So I want to give you guys a hand and you give yourselves a hand. Because people are watching. They see what's going on. People are watching. People are listening. Guys, my question for you this morning as I close here is let us give our best to God in everything that we do. When everyone around us is not being faithful, let us be faithful. Let us use the gifts that God has given us. Let the fruits of the Spirit be shown in how we're living our lives. Give our best. Listen, we're on a mission. Don't be like me at the deer hunt and sit around the campfire and watch everybody else charge out to get the deer. Don't sit at the church and watch everybody else charge out to do missions and you sit back and go, "Well, how great our church is," and you're not a part of it. Charge out into the mission field and do something. We're going to have an invitation this morning. I'm going to ask our team to come. I'm going to ask you to stand this morning. Here's the question. I know it's a short sermon. You like that sometimes. Amen. I didn't go for 45 minutes. Our nursery workers will be happy. But you have to know. A question I want to ask yourselves. You know right now if you've been giving your best to God. You know. Without anyone having to do an evaluation, you know on your own self if you have been giving your best to God or not. And if you haven't, you need to get down on your knees and repent of that. And you need to ask forgiveness. And say, "God, I haven't been giving you my best. I've been giving you the leftovers. I haven't been willing to charge into missions. And I need to and I want to." And you need to get down on your knees and say, "Lord, I'm sorry." Maybe you're here and you're here this morning. You've been attending for a while. And you hear about all of these opportunities to serve. And to do missions, and you want to be a part of this local body of believers. We're just finishing up another new members class. I'm very excited about that. Maybe you want to become a member of this local body and serve in these missions. You need to come and make that profession that, "Hey, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. I profess faith in Him." Maybe you're here and you've made that commitment. You need to come and make that public profession of faith. You need to be baptized. You need to do that. We don't need to hold those things off. If you need to come, and you have a decision you can make, you come. And at the end of this service, after our benediction, we're going to have an opportunity once again. I want to tell you, I'm never going to ask you guys to do something that I'm not willing to do. I'm never going to do that. We're going to have an opportunity to provide scriptures all over the world by opening our checkbooks and saying, "Gideon's International, not Crossbridge, Gideon's International, here's some money for some Bibles. Go place some Bibles." That affect lives, right, Tristan? That affect lives. So we're going to have the opportunity. Let's pray. If you need to come, you come. Father, I thank you, Lord, this morning. I thank you for Mike. I thank you for our friendship that I have with him. And I'm very thankful for him and Suzanne that they're willing to go to churches and talk about the Gideons and the work that they're doing, Lord. And let us bless him and that organization this morning. And Lord, if there's people here that need to make these professions of faith that I've talked to, that need to let this body know that they're going to be baptized. They need to come and they need to do that. And they need to be bold about it, not ashamed. Not ashamed. Give them the strength and courage this morning to do that. Lord, we love you and we want to honor you in everything that we do. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Oh, my.
Okay, guys, we got a big day today. I'm going to start. I'm excited. I'm excited to go to the river and jump in some cold water for some baptisms. Come on up here. Billy's come this morning, and I had a chance to visit with him two Wednesday nights ago, and he is a believer. He's made a profession of faith in Christ, and he is being obedient and following in baptism today. So he is going to be baptized today, and he is going to make that outward profession of faith. That he is a follower and believer of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to baptize him today. You got anything you want to say?
I'm ready.
He's ready. Okay. All right. Stand right here. Stand right here. Tasha, come on up here. So here's the thing, guys. This is why we do missions. This is why we do missions. Last night, what have I been challenging our Wednesday night class to do? What have I been telling you to do? Share the gospel. And we come up with all sorts of excuses. Last night, this young lady walked into Freeway. And people have been sharing the gospel with her for quite a while. Well, this young lady walked into Freeway last night and said, I want to talk to you. And I pulled her over to the side with Kelly. And I shared the gospel with her last night. And I didn't say a prayer. I said, you think about this. You pray. You read. You got a Bible? She said, no. I said, get her a Bible. How does she not have a Bible? Get her a Bible. We got her a Bible. I said, you keep this Bible. I shared the gospel with her last night. I preached the gospel last night at Freeway. She's been thinking about this, had questions and answers. Last night she came forward and made a profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is why we do missions. That's why. And listen, last night from an outward appearance, we were down on numbers at Freeway for our last service at the Mac. And guess what? I looked at Alan Starr, I'm like, man, we're down tonight. And Alan at the end goes, this is why we have it, man. The people that were here, and they were. And you got anything you want to say? Okay, you want to stand right here. We're going to be baptizing her. I'm going to be talking to her about baptism because part of this, I could baptize her today. And she may not have a full understanding of what baptism is. She does salvation. But I'm going to sit down and I'm going to be visiting with her and talking with her about baptism because I want to make sure everybody understands what they're doing before we baptize them. So I'm very proud of her. Come on up here, Cindy. I'm very, very proud of this young lady. It's been about 2 weeks ago, again, 3 weeks ago. She has made an outward profession of faith. She has been coming to this church faithfully. This happened, listen, because people in our church shared the gospel with her. Not me, not an elder. People in our body that she worked with at her work, went and shared the gospel with her. She started attending this church, had never been in church her whole life, correct?
Not that I remember.
Yeah, and we're sharing the gospel with her. She's been coming. She made it also, weighing the cost, she made a profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I met with her. Give her a hand. I met with her and talked to her about baptism and salvation. I always do that to make sure we have an understanding of Jesus said, I preached on it last night, weigh the cost. Do you understand what it means to be one of my followers? I just don't want to go down to the river and give people baths, okay? That don't work. I want to go down to the river after people have made public professions of faith, an inward change has happened, and they are making an outward profession of faith that they are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we're doing today. I'm very, very proud of her. She has gotten a new job so that she can be off work on Wednesdays and Sundays. It's important, guys. It's important to her. It's important. You got anything you want to say? No. We got a bunch of quiet baptizees today. Come over here and stand. I want to read the benediction, and then what I want you to do is I want you to come around and welcome them, congratulate them, and I don't want you to forget about the Gideons in the back. Don't forget about the Gideons in the back and what we can do. Our benediction is this. It's not even really a benediction in Scripture. I don't care. It's great. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even till the end of age. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning again that we could come as brothers and sisters in Christ and we could worship together. And Father, I'm so thankful for these new believers that are standing behind me this morning that are making professions of faith in you. Lord, let us as a church be there to disciple them and teach them and them grow in their faith and us pass knowledge on to them. And Lord, let them also, let us glean off one another. And there's things I can learn from them, so let us learn from them. Let them plug into our missions that we have here. Lord, I thank you. We want you to get praised and glorified and honored and shared with everything that we do here, from every mission to every service. We want to be sharing about what your Son Jesus did for us. We love you and we thank you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.